We turn now to the American Muslim political experience. With an estimated 6 million adherents, Islam represents the third largest religion in America. A quarter to a third of American Muslims are African American. Estimates and surveys vary widely, but it's clear that Muslims voted resoundingly for George W. Bush in the 2000 election. They are considered to be among this election's swing voters. As they deliberate the choice between John Kerry and George W. Bush, Muslims, like African American Christians, hold deep values that straddle this country's left-right divide. They are generally conservative when it comes to moral issues, but more liberal when it comes to matters of social and economic policy. And devout Muslims do not separate religious and political convictions in the same way as other Americans.
See, one of the assumptions of modernity is that religion is detrimental to public life. I sometimes jokingly say that in the West, religion was reduced to the status of a pajama that you wear when you go home and then leave it at home when you go out, whether to work or to politic.
My guest, Muqtadir Khan, is a political scientist and director of international studies at Adrian College in Michigan. He's a non-resident fellow of the Brookings Institution and an associate of the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy and the Association of Muslim Social Scientists. He writes and speaks widely about the Muslim experience of being American. Muslims voted for George Bush overwhelmingly in the last election, Khan says, in part because they admired how he asserted the primacy of his Christian faith. But the Bush presidency and events in the world since September 11th have caused many American Muslims to re-examine the desirability of religious convictions in politics. Muqtadir Khan insists that Muslims are called to be the moral conscience of any society they inhabit, but they continue to grapple with what that means in the American context.
As Muslims, when we live here, we have a moral responsibility to become the moral conscious of the society that we live in. And I think that the notion of stewardship in Christianity also suggests the same thing, that as individuals, it's like a categorical imperative about religions. Live your life as if it can become a blueprint for a moral existence. And that is what I advocate Muslims, not to get involved into politics which are motivated by special interest kind of thing. I want a bigger share of the pie. But I suggest that that is not the point. Let the very presence of Muslims in America become a boon to Americans. I live in a very small town called Adrian, Michigan, we brag that there are 30,000 people here, but actually I think there are only 24,000 people. There are only 11 Muslims here, and I think five of them are doctors, and the rest of us are professors. And I think that Muslims in my tiny city are doing a great service to their tiny city. Just 11 of us, but we save their lives every day as doctors, and then we save their spirit every day as teachers.
We have ideas, and these ideas are out there, especially in a presidential election year, about how particular groups, religious groups, tend to vote in a partisan way. And I don't think there is any generalization like that. I mean, let's say African Americans are Democrats, Jews are Democrats, right? Evangelical Christians are Republican. I mean, clearly those categories don't cover everyone, but those are generalizations that are made. And I'm also maybe hearing that you want to resist that, that you want to say that Muslim political engagement would not necessarily be easily classified along partisan lines.
The Muslim political engagement is very new. 2000 was the year when Muslims really participated as a community very aggressively and ended up endorsing George Bush. And the claim of Muslim organizations is that up to 72 to 74% of American Muslims voted for George Bush, and the rest voted for either Nader or Al Gore. And the first major debate in American Muslim community was whether to actually participate in American politics or not. Many Muslims see American politics as very corrupt and immoral. And that is how some Muslims translate secularism. They say secularism means if you keep religion out of politics, since for Muslims all ethics and all values come from religion, keeping religion out of politics is to have politics without ethics, and they think American politics is without ethics. They are probably worried to a great extent by the manner in which money plays a significant role. So they thought that if we participated in American politics, the community itself would become morally corrupt. And so some of us argued, yeah, but you're also secularizing Islam now by not engaging in politics. So the first debate in the Muslim community was to participate or not. And when they eventually did, and the debate was won by those who wanted engagement, we endorsed George Bush. And we have learned a lot of lessons from George Bush. One thing that we have learned is the appreciation of pluralism and secularism, in the sense that Muslims have suffered because of the religious affiliations of President Bush and his faith-based initiatives. I sometimes jokingly call Al-Qaeda as a faith-based initiative. But what is interesting is that now American Muslims are determined to punish Bush, so they are determined to vote for John Kerry. And already the Bush administration is using this to probably orchestrate a major swing in the American Jewish vote, which used to be traditionally 80% Democratic. They are hoping that at least 40% will this year vote Republican. But there are some of us, like me, who have aggressively argued that we should allow Muslims to vote as individuals, to vote their conscience, because we should vote for those causes that are dear to us, rather than essentially to increase or decrease the strength of the community. And Muslims do not fit into the American political spectrum as neatly as most Americans do.
Yeah, I'd say a little bit more about that. Why is that?
Because Muslims are social conservatives, but political and economic liberals. So, for example, if Muslims are too agitated by social issues, such as sexuality on television or homosexual marriages or things that they think are unreligious or un-Islamic, then they like Republicans for that. One of the arguments that I had heard for Bush in 2000 was, when Bush was asked, who is your role model, he had said, Jesus Christ. And many Muslims said that, how can we not vote for a man whose role model is Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is considered a major prophet within the Islamic tradition. We are socially conservative, and when those issues dominate on our mind, we like the Republican Party for its conservatism. But Muslims are for affirmative action in a significant way. In Michigan, where I live, nearly 80% of Muslims are in favor of affirmative action. Muslims are in favor of universal health care. Muslims are in favor of welfare, a lot of welfare. They believe in charity. They believe in helping the poor and the marginalized. So on public policy issues, they lean in Democratic. We do not really fit in. We are not fully conservative, and we are not fully liberal in the American sense of the term.
Political scientist Muqtadir Khan. We're exploring his perspective as a politically engaged Muslim in this presidential campaign. Why have Muslim Americans moved from being staunch supporters of George W. Bush to one of this election's block of swing voters? A visiting scholar at the Brookings Institution, my guest Muqtadir Khan has advised the campaign of John Kerry, but he's critical of both campaigns on issues of importance to Muslims. He is a Muslim American of Indian heritage and has critical observations about the interplay of religion in the American political process as a whole. So I think your observation about Muslims being very excited about George Bush talking about Jesus in the first election is fascinating, and it has become so much an issue in this presidential election now. George Bush's religiosity, and also calls for John Kerry to be more overt about that. And I'm just curious about how you and the people around you as Muslims are reacting to the way this subject is being discussed in this presidential election right now.
See, there are several things about the American discourse that most ordinary Muslims do not really understand. So they find the discourse very hypocritical, because people are not very open in the positions that they take. Americans often do things for religious purposes, but provide secular explanations as to why they do certain things. And sometimes Muslims do things for secular purposes, such as for power and wealth, but provide a religious justification for it. Religion is legitimizing in the Muslim discourse, whereas secularism or rationalism is legitimizing in Western discourse.
Yeah, that's very interesting, yeah.
So Western politicians, they will do things because they are Christian and because their beliefs say so, but they have to provide some kind of a secular justification for it, because among the smart crowd in America, the Northeasterns, the liberals, and Washington Post and New York Times, they sort of look down upon overtly religious people in this country. So I'm familiar with religious people who have this hesitation to express their religiosity fully, at least in the Northeast, in many ways. So they disguise their discourse, and Muslims find this very hypocritical. But what is interesting is that I have no problem with President Bush's religiosity. The problem is when his religiosity becomes very selective. Like people kept jokingly said, okay, if you're a Christian, so why didn't you turn the other cheek rather than going on in invading country after country? Would Jesus do that? I don't think that Jesus would be a believer of preemptive strike. So the religiosity is very selective. Religion acts as a facilitator as well as a constrainer of choices. So religion should prevent you from making certain choices because they're unethical and immoral. So what Muslims have really learned from this experience is the virtues of secularism. And so they're now beginning to realize and say, oh, we would rather have a secular president who is not influenced by the Christian right and its anti-Islamic positions. For Muslims, that is more important now. So they are beginning to appreciate this neutrality of state towards specific religious groups. They still believe that religious values should inform. For example, when there was this whole case in the South where the Ten Commandments were to be removed from the court, if you remember. Most Muslims were in favor of having the Ten Commandments in the court. In fact, I have gone on public record to say that I would trust courts which apply the law of Moses more than courts which do not. So Muslims have no problem with the presence of religiosity in the public life, but we are now beginning to recognize the problem of individuals who are aligned to one particular religious group to the detriment of other religious groups. And that is something which is very interesting. I actually have written about this as the fact that John Ashcroft is the latest liberal philosopher of Islam.
Because how's that?
He has taught Muslims the value of secularism in many ways because they are very disturbed by his political positions, the kind of things that he had to say about Islam in his position as the man in charge of justice in this country. Isn't it ironic that he would make such unjust comments about Islam and Muslims and the Patriot Act and so on and so forth?
So observing something like that brings American Muslims to begin to value sometimes having leaders who are not speaking religiously.
Well, not so much as not speaking religiously, but who are not sectarian in their religious positions.
Okay.
That is what they are beginning to understand, which is a very good thing. You see, Muslims maintain this very hypocritical position. When they are in minority, they appreciate secularism, such as when they are in Europe and when they are in UK,
right,
Canada, or India. But when they are in majority, they do not like secularism.
We've spoken about the way George Bush has expressed himself religiously and some of the observations that Muslims have made about that. How are you experiencing John Kerry in this context?
There are certain things which are very troubling for Muslims in the current administration. We need more compassion in the White House, and we don't like these conservative compassion, really. It's been very brutal to us. It has been proved that 9/11 had nothing to do with American Muslims. They haven't found a single person. They have indicted people for playing with paintball guns and stuff like that. For us today, the Bill of Rights don't exist in this country. But what is interesting is that I'm personally very disappointed with the alternative that we are presenting, John Kerry. For example, in Muslim gatherings, I have said that there are two or three reasons why we are really, really very upset with George Bush. Is number one, he did not fulfill his promises that he made about Palestine. Number two, the Patriot Act. Number three, the war on Iraq. And if you look at all three of these things, John Kerry is identical to George Bush on those issues. So on the issues that most Muslims today care about, there is nothing to choose. Nonetheless, I think that it is important for Muslims to be able to engage in American politics. And if they want to vote for John Kerry, they should vote. But what we are hopeful is that the Democratic Party will now make far more overtures towards getting Muslims involved in the policy process. So far, we are only involved in the politics, so vote, not to vote, whom to give money, whom not to give. But we would like to be involved and consulted on policy issues. If you're going to make policy about Muslims, please consult Muslims. And increasingly, both parties are beginning to do that.
Political scientist Muqtada Khan. I'm Krista Tippett, and this is Speaking of Faith. Today, the other religious America in election 2004. My guest, Muqtada Khan, writes widely about the Muslim experience in American culture and politics, and he says that for religious and moral reasons, John Kerry does not appear as a clear alternative, even to Muslims disillusioned with the Bush presidency.
Many people in the Muslim community are very, they don't have much confidence in John Kerry. Yes, we know that he is opposed to the Patriot Act and he was opposed to the war in Iraq, but he did not have the moral courage to stand up under adverse circumstances and vote no. He voted yes to save his political career. And that is very, very scary. That is the real test. All religious people will tell you that the real test of your faith is when you take positions that will hurt your own interest. And I think John Kerry has failed the test on several issues. He did not stand up against the Patriot Act as aggressively as he should have. It was very apparent to everybody that this was destroying America. America is not anymore a free country as it was in the past. We are a country that tortures people. We are a country that violates international norms. We are a country that violates our own constitution, both at home and overseas. And he let it all happen. And that is something that makes us feel weak. And as a result of that, many Muslims are going to indulge in what is called as a protest vote, and they're going to vote for Ralph Nader.
You know, some religious people, some Christians, are criticizing or saying that one thing that they hold against John Kerry is that he is not explicit about what is the source of his moral reasoning and what is his religious perspective. And I wonder, as a Muslim, would you like to know more about that? Would that be something that would appeal to Muslims?
See, it was this issue of Lieberman when Lieberman was running as vice president. Lieberman's religiosity has always been in the public sphere, always. And Muslims liked it. And they might have disagreed with some of his political positions vis-a-vis Israel, but they understood his fact. I mean, the question came up, what happens if you become president? Will you go to war on Sabbath? But you must also understand that all Muslims are not very religious.
Right. That's something a lot of Americans don't understand.
The general assumption is that only one-third of American Muslim community is religious. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a community whose organizations are influenced by that one-third religious Muslims. So there's a lot of Islam talk in Muslim politics. But two-thirds of Muslims are just as liberal. And I think they are probably more American than Americans when it comes to material issues and liberal issues. They really love their cars and their big homes. So for those Muslims, the very rich are going to be Republican for economic purposes, for corporate reasons and so on and so forth. And if you look at the survey, already many Muslims have become what is called as rangers and others, in the sense that they have raised over $100,000 or $200,000 individually for the Bush campaign. So many Muslims are giving a lot of money for Bush because of other reasons besides morality or ethnic or religious politics. But then there are also Muslims who are very progressive and they are very pro-democratic in their orientation. Often when we talk about Muslims in America, we only talk about Muslims who are mosque-associated. For them, yes, religiosity really matters. And even now, there are huge debates about how the Muslim community and the Republican Party should be natural allies because we both believe in God. There are these assumptions about Democrats that they are not very religious, they are atheists, and they are so on and so forth. I think that if you look at the recent Pew studies, 36% Americans have identified themselves as conservatives and only 16% as liberals. And the rest have said they are moderates or independent. And it's important now that people who advocate liberal values to come out and explicitly state what their values are, what their sources of those values are, and what the arguments really are.
I would like to ask you as we close, where do you look for hope in all of this, in all of these complex reflections you have about religion and politics and Islam in America right now?
See, despair is a very important aspect of religiosity. despair and anguish deepen the soul, and they also enrich your relationship with God. And eventually, despair on social and political realities can translate into, say, a mystical understanding of despair as a condition because of the separation of the self from God itself. If you notice, September 11th reawakened religiosity in America, and for a little while, people were really returning to their churches and the mosques aggressively. And I don't want people to turn towards God because there's in adverse circumstances. It's important that we face God throughout our lives. But what is interesting is that if you look at the global trend itself, God is returning in a very aggressive manner to this world. You see religious revival not only among Muslims, but among Christians, among Jews, among Hindus, Buddhists. It's everywhere. So in that sense, what we need to do is to develop a sense of balance in individual lives and in social lives. And like I tell Muslims, that as good Muslims, we should rather be willing to suffer injustice than commit injustice. And I think at some point, people will realize that they need to exercise self-restraint. And there is an absence of self-restraint at the moment, which is leading to extreme politics, both at local and global level today. And my hope is that people will recognize that religiosity is essentially self-restraint.